This is Greg Corumbus of Radio America reporting for WorldNet Daily. My guest at this time is U.S. Senate nominee Joe Miller. He's the Republican nominee in Alaska, the last race where we still don't have an official winner yet. Obviously, because of Lisa Murkowski's write-in bid, many of the ballots are still being counted, and there are many contested ballots that still need to be gone over as well. So we could still be a ways away from knowing who will be the senator from that state for the next 6 years. And Joe, it's great to have you with us.
Good to be on. Thank you for having me.
One of the latest things we've seen is that Murkowski's lead, not including contested ballots, is down to just over 1,700 now. How do you read that? How encouraged are you?
Well, you know, it's really not going to be read until we get clear word from the court as to whether or not the rule of law is going to apply here. I mean, you're right. We are ahead, technically. Later today, there are another 8,000 write-in ballots that are going to be counted, and we still have about 1,000 military ballots. But I think the end result, when you look at the uncontested ballots, is going to be a very neck-and-neck race. And where it's going to come down to is the state of Alaska going to be required to follow the law as it's been on the books here for years, or is there going to be a new standard applied, kind of what we've coined the Murkowski standard, to counting these ballots? And that's the real concern, whether or not the rule of law or some bureaucrat is going to make the decision.
To go into that a little bit more, because I think a lot of people have been confused given the arguments made by the Murkowski campaign, as well as some of the arguments that you've made in court. It seemed to a lot of people like there wasn't an established standard on what counts as a write-in vote. So what does the law actually say?
The law makes it very clear that what is written on the write-in ballot must be the same as what the write-in declaration of candidacy reflects. In other words, it has to be the same name. And, you know, we've got a precedent in this state. In fact, Robin Taylor in 98 ran a gubernatorial race where almost 8% of his ballots were disqualified. This particular candidate actually had stickers that they put on the various ballots. So that actually is a pretty high rate of disqualification. Clearly, the statute was applied in the strict sense that the legislature intended it to be. The same statute says, and this is interesting, that there are no exceptions and that the provisions are mandatory of the statute. So, you know, Murkowski understood at the beginning of a write-in campaign what was required. She spent literally hundreds of thousands of dollars with ads such as a spelling bee contest where there was a child that was spelling Murkowski's name. She spent lots of money on print ads, on wristbands, on pencils, educating Alaskans that they needed to spell her name right. And then just 36 hours before the count began, this is after the election has already taken place, the Division of Elections, which is under the guide, by the way, of a Murkowski protege — this guy was actually appointed by Murkowski years ago into state government — decided that instead of following what the statute says, he would instead apply a different standard. And that's why we're in the middle of this nightmare right now, is because there has been a decision by the bureaucrats that we should follow something different than what the state legislature applied. It really is a rule of law question.
When do you expect the courts to weigh in on what counts as a vote and what doesn't?
Well, we immediately filed. In fact, it was the day after the Division of Elections finally issued these written guidelines, again, 36 hours before the vote count began, but a day after those written guidelines issued, we filed in the federal court under the Election Clause of the U.S. Constitution. The Election Clause says the state legislature determines the standards by which a U.S. Senate candidate is selected. And we're right now in the middle of that. We filed some briefing, and hopefully there's going to be an argument next week. And then no matter what the outcome is, we know that either side is going to appeal it to the Ninth Circuit, and it may even go beyond that. But it really is a simple question. Does the state legislature standards that it imposed by statute, is that what should carry today? Is that what ought to guide the Division of Election and counting these ballots? And if you don't have that, you have no standard. I mean, we saw over the last several days, and some of these are obscenities that have been included with Murkowski's names that are actually counted as a vote for her. I mean, it leads to these ludicrous results that we're seeing right now on the ground, and that's the reason the state legislature imposed the law it did. It was designed to have a high standard if somebody decided to go the route outside of the primary result and do a write-in campaign.
And if, in fact, the state legislature's guidelines are allowed to stand — you mentioned it appears to be neck and neck — but if that standard persists, how confident are you that you'll end up on top here?
We believe that if the state legislature standard is applied, we will win this race. We are cautiously optimistic.
Another thing that you mentioned in the days following the election were some allegations that you hadn't fully vetted yet, but were interested in looking into, about possible voter intimidation in favor of the Murkowski campaign. What has come to light, if anything, about that?
We've had a number of affidavits, sworn statements filed by people that have seen a number of irregularities. In fact, one particular voter in Anchorage went into the voting booth. He was the sixth or seventh voter in this precinct. It just turned 7 a.m. They had only had just a handful of ballots cast before him. I mean, he was standing at line when it opened. They had a jam in the voting machine. They opened it, and he saw several inches of ballots already inside the machine. You know, there are a number of other reports coming from Juneau. For example, a sworn affidavit from one of our counters where they opened the ballots from a precinct, and the ballots were sorted according to Senate candidate. Now, you know, on our ballot, we had all sorts of different candidates. But for some reason, this precinct saw it fit to sort according to candidate. Of course, we can envision all sorts of ideas as to why. But there are many, many dozens, literally dozens of reports throughout the state also of intimidation out in the rural areas. We have some precincts in the rural areas that voted almost 100% for Murkowski. These same areas on their absentee returns are showing a much different percentage return. So on election day, you're seeing this just overwhelming response for one candidate. But on the ballots mailed in, we see a different result. So there are all sorts of anomalies out there. This is not the first time the state of Alaska has faced concerns about voter irregularities. In fact, in 2006, I believe it was, the Alaska Democratic Party filed a lawsuit based upon the fact that the machine counts were not actually reflecting the vote totals, that you had several different numbers coming out of the Division of Elections. The only certain way that we're going to be able to determine that there was integrity in this vote is by getting a hold of, for example, the tapes from the voting machines. And we've made that request to the Division of Elections. Division of Elections has refused to even respond to that request. And on Monday, we were forced to file a lawsuit to request those tapes, because that will allow us then to compare what the machines counted to our precinct registers and at least find out whether or not the numbers are right.
But what you're telling me, though, is that if it's going to be investigated, it's going to be investigated by the same people who changed the standard for a write-in vote after the vote was taken?
Well, I don't know whether or not there's been a complaint to the feds yet, but typically, especially when you're talking about a federal campaign, there is obviously federal law enforcement that can be involved. I don't know whether that's happened. I don't know whether it will happen. But you're right. We should be concerned. It's not just this Division of Elections that changed the standard. This is the same Division of Elections that announced that the count review was going to begin on the 18th. And then on the eve of the start, they changed it to the 10th. They moved it up by an entire week, 8 days, put it in Juneau, Alaska, and created just almost a catastrophe for our campaign. It was at 1 a.m. in the morning on the date of the 10th that this count started that we were scurrying, trying to get bodies available to be part of this count process. You know, they got 15 tables set up, so we have to have representatives throughout the building to make sure that the count is going correctly. But not only by location, but also by timing, the Division of Elections again attempted to create issues for us in the process of ensuring the integrity of the account, of the count itself. We also know that there were problems with the Division of Elections initially making a statement that it would not count votes for Joe Miller that were write-in votes. I mean, said that point blank, will not count a vote for Joe Miller that's a write-in. There's the same state statute that I referred to before provides explicitly that write-in votes for a candidate that's already on the ballot are to be counted for that candidate. And we pointed that out to the Division of Elections, and eventually the Division of Elections corrected itself and then decided that it would count Joe Miller write-in votes. But, there aren't too many laws they got to comply with, but it seems that when they can, they twist things in a way that would fit, obviously, Murkowski's position better than our own. And so it does mean that we have to keep a close eye on the process. We're going to continue to do that. We're right now looking at the military balance. That's another concern that we have. We inquired with the Division of Elections as to whether or not they sent them out in a timely fashion. And, of course, the military ballots for us are very important. We historically, during the primary and what we've seen in the general, have scored very well amongst those in service. And we got a response back that, well, the first batch went out on the 18th, the date that they were due to go out. We made another inquiry as to whether or not that was the only batch that went out, and we haven't heard back.
Last question, and this goes to a comment recently made by Senator Murkowski. I'm sure you've heard this. She was talking with Katie Couric of CBS News, and she was talking about the need for bipartisanship, but said this along the way.
I am not one of those who wants Obama to fail. If he does well, that means the country's doing well. We don't have time as a nation to spend all of what we do blocking.
What do you make of that approach to Washington?
Well, you know, we said during the primary, this has always been a campaign about the issues for us, and we demonstrated what her vote was, you know, how she's voted in a very liberal fashion throughout the time that she's there. She came out then and characterizes herself as this Reagan-like conservative. Of course, then she starts running the general election, and she swings over to the left. That those that encouraged her write-in bid, most of which, I think, were Democrats or at least liberals, and now she's coming out in true color, true form. We're seeing her for who she is. You know, she's a cap-and-trade advocate. I think it's very dangerous to have somebody in the process that Obama can co-opt to get across those changes that he wants to make to this country that are devastating to it. And that's another reason why this race is so critically important. We don't need a swing vote. We don't need a senator that's on Obama's short list to get his way.
Joe, we'll have to leave it there. Thank you, sir, for taking time to be with us today.
Well, thank you for having me.
Joe Miller, the Republican nominee for U.S. Senate in Alaska. The count goes on, as do a lot of the legal questions. And the Miller campaign is encouraging anyone interested to donate to the legal defense effort as this plays out. That's right at the campaign website of joemiller.us. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America reporting for WorldNet Daily.